I'd like you to read with me 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. I just thought of some of the last recorded words of the Lord Jesus before he went to Calvary were, "This is my body, which is given for you." I want to suggest that our response to that is to answer it as we've been asked in Romans chapter 12, in return to present our bodies to him as a living sacrifice. Let's read the chapter together. 1 Corinthians 6, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh, and he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Well, it's a very earthy chapter, isn't it? And yet I think in our days in which we live, it is very necessary for us, with our thinking and our associations in the world and with one another, to understand very fully and very simply what the Lord is saying to us. The chapter opens, and the first part of it's devoted to correcting an error of brethren and Christians going to court one with another. And the phrase that starts the chapter is, "Dare any of you." And I don't know another phrase so strong as that in those sort of words. We know the word is used in many times. On a number of occasions, the Lord, when he was asked questions, he answered them to the Pharisees and so on, and it says, "No man dare ask him any more questions." But here's a message that the apostle has written, the Spirit has written to us. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust. It is completely foreign to all that we believe and say, that we say we are brethren in Christ, we are Christians, we are one family, we are members of the one body. It is completely unreasonable, it is completely wrong for us to even contemplate to go before the ungodly to settle any difference that might arise. How shameful for two Christians who claim to be the sons and children of God to go before an ungodly arbiter. That's what the apostle is saying here. It is completely disrespectful. And how it must hurt the Lord when he sees his children going before ungodly people to sort their differences out. And so the apostle is telling us it ought not to be. He's saying rather that if somebody has hurt me, if somebody owes me something, if somebody has done something against me, rather than go before the law and ungodly judges, I should suffer the wrong. Now that takes a lot of grace. It certainly does. And blessed are the meek, the Lord said. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It takes us back to our basic fundamental teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, that in our association with one another, we should suffer the wrong. I read a little exposition on the chapter by Dr. Harry Ironside, and he quotes the occasion where there was a difference between two brethren. And these two brethren didn't go to the law. They stood up in a church meeting, and one brother stood up and thumped the table with his fist and screamed, "I'll have my rights." And there was an old half-deaf brother sitting down the back, said, "What was that you said?" And the brother thumped the desk in his excitement again and said, "I'm here to have my rights." And this half-deaf brother got quietly up and said, "I thought that's what you said, but I believe you don't mean it, because if you had your rights, you'd be in hell right now." And the difference was settled very, very promptly. He brought the whole back into focus. And I think it's important for us to appreciate how dishonouring to the Lord it must be when Christians can't sort their differences out. The Lord told us how to do it. The Lord told us that if I come along to this to worship the Lord, and I remember my brother's got something against me, I should get up and leave the place. Leave my gift at the altar and take my brother and settle it, and then come back and bring my offering. The Lord told us that if we have a dispute among ourselves, go and tell my brother, one man to man, woman to woman, face to face. And if he won't hear me, take one or two of the brethren with me. And so on. And the apostle is saying in verse 4, I think it's a question, and I think if we can put the question mark at the end of verse 4, what he's basically saying is not to set those amongst us that are least esteemed among us to be our judges, because he then talks about being a wise man, wise men in verse 5. I think what he's saying here is, and he's asking the question, do we really going to set those two arbitrate and judge amongst us those that are least esteemed, those who are despised nearly, that's not quite the word I want, but the unsaved, those who have a different yardstick to us, those who have not the Spirit. That's what the apostle is asking the question. Are we really going to set those that have a different measurement for life? Are we going to go to them to be our arbiter? And so it's a very earthy and a very practical part of the chapter. And I do not believe that there should be any of us ever contemplate going to the courts, one Christian against another, and I'm going to wax bold and say for any cause whatever. And having said that, can a Christian divorce another Christian in Australian society? I leave that and you can think about that. But then the apostle then goes down and again he brings us to this same thing which he has been trying to correct in Corinth, the immoral, impure mode of living that was in that place. And so he goes on and he again, in verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, the immoral and the impure, then thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. And he links them with the immoral standard of living in Corinth. And again, it's a warning. We thought of it in chapter 5. The apostle highlighted it in chapter 5. And now he's highlighting it again. And if there's anything that we've got to be on our guard is the immoral standards that we are forced to live amongst in this world. I ask you, are they any better than they were in Corinth? Was Corinth any worse than 1987 Australian society? And we've got to be on our guard. Immoral standards. They're pushed at us in the press. They're pushed at us on the radio. They've flaunted and pushed at us on television. On every public media, practically, they're pushed at us. And the standards that the Scriptures would have us accept are belittled and ridiculed, sneered at, and so on. And so the Apostle is trying to warn us, and we must take this warning seriously. Our young people are exposed to it as never before, and so are older people, our whole society. And so the apostle ends up by saying, know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Impure living is contrary to that fact that the Holy Ghost has taken up his residence within my body. And God has saved me, spirit, soul, and body. Spirit and soul, we understand. He saves my body completely. On that resurrection, we'll be raised a new body. We've got a responsibility to keep our bodies pure, holy, sanctified, set apart to him. And if we understand that, our moral living will bring glory to God. And there'll not be some of these things that the apostle says are ashamed to be named among us. Adultery, fornication, homosexuality, and so on, that the world laps up and becomes everyday living. And so the apostle again warns us, and he brings this to us, and it's on the basis We are the Lord's. He has saved us. We're joined to Christ. Our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit that dwells within. As I open by saying, the Lord gave His body for us. In return, He expects us to present our bodies back to Him, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And He says it's our reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. It's our reasonable service.